Galilee. Galilee was the original backside of nowhere. It's way up in northern Palestine where only the simple people live. Here's the thing about Galilee. In that region of Galilee, there were no real cities to be found. No centers of commerce, no places with rich history. The people were farmers and shepherds and tradespeople. They spoke with thick rural accents. They knew very little about what was going on in the real world. Nobody famous had ever come from Galilee. If Galilee was nothing, Nazareth was even less. It was a town that was uncomfortably close to the hated Samaritans. It was never mentioned once by ancient historians. In fact, there's not even one reference to Nazareth in all of the Old Testament. It was the ultimate one-horse town, forgotten and forgettable. Many years later, when Nathanael would ask if anything good ever came out of Nazareth, he wasn't being obnoxious, just honest. Nothing, nobody ever had anything to do with Nazareth. If you ask anybody, they couldn't tell you anything important about that little town. Besides, read your Bible. Every important thing the Lord had ever done took place in Judea. After all, Jerusalem was at the very heart of Judea. The temple was at the heart of Jerusalem. If God was going to do anything important, it was going to be in Judea. Why in the world would God choose a nowhere, nothing in the middle of the country place like Nazareth? If Nazareth was an unexpected place, Mary was an equally unexpected choice. After all, she was a simple young woman with simple plans for her life. Mary never one time said, "Someday I'll grow up and I'll change the world. History will be transformed by who I am." Her plans were simply to marry the village carpenter, raise her family, and be contented to live in that same place where she had been born and grown up and probably would never leave for the rest of her life. She had no grand goals for her life. The only thing that set Mary apart was her faith. She had a deep, abiding faith in God. It ran all the way to the roots of her heart. And that simple, profound faith set her apart. And because of that, Nazareth became one of those places where one of the angels of Christmas came to visit a simple young woman. Not just an angel, but the angel Gabriel. You know, when we read the Christmas story, most of the time we assume, and maybe properly so, that Gabriel was the one who made all of those pronouncements, that it was Gabriel who appeared to Zacharias, that it was Gabriel who went to Joseph, that it was Gabriel who appeared to the shepherds. But you know what? The Gospels only say one time that Gabriel, that chief spokesman of the angels, appeared to a human person. And that was Mary, that little girl in Nazareth. And he came to make an announcement that would transform heaven and earth. And I want us to take a few moments, and I want us to look together this morning at this one who was chosen by God and what the angel said to her. Because Gabriel had an incredible message, a life-changing, world-changing, eternal-changing message. And he brought it to young Mary in Nazareth. What did he say? Well, the first thing the angel said is this: Mary, God has made a choice. God has made a choice. He came to the Virgin Mary and he declared to her, "Hail, O blessed one, the Lord is with you. Blessed are you among women." What an incredible message. What was it that he was saying to Mary? First, he told her, God has chosen you. He said, the Lord is with you. These days, that's something we say too casually. The truth is, if we ask the question, is the Lord with you? Most of us would say, yes, the Lord is with me. The Lord is always with me. The Lord is with me everywhere I go and everything I do. The Lord is with me. And we can say that because we live on the other side of Pentecost. We live after the coming of the Holy Spirit. But prior to that time, that idea of being in the presence of God was an incredible thing. It was an experience that was only reserved for prophets and leaders that God has set apart. People who had done incredible, significant things. When Gabriel said to Mary, "Hail, O blessed one, the Lord is with you," it shook her to the very center of who she was. God is here. God is with you. God, whom everybody thinks is always way out there, way off yonder, separated from everybody else. He is with you. When he reached out, it was to do something miraculous. And the angel was saying to Mary, pay attention. God is up to something. It's something incredible, and you're a part of it all. God has chosen you. Not only that, he told her, God has chosen you especially. He used a special name that he referred to Mary. He called her Blessed One. That was not a casual phrase. To be called blessed was to be set apart as a person whose life had been touched by God for a very special purpose. You are a blessed one. You are one with a unique touch of God in your life. A touch that nobody else has had and nobody else is going to have because you're a blessed one. Because you are unique and special in His sight. You've been set apart for His special purpose. Who are the blessed ones? Abraham was a blessed one. Moses was a blessed one. David was a blessed one. Those are the kind of people who were called by that phrase. And here's Mary, this young girl in a small village that nobody's ever seen, and God is saying, you're one of them. You're just as unique, you're just as special as anybody else that God has ever chosen and used to change the destiny of His people. You're a blessed one. And then he told her this, God has chosen you exclusively. The angel used one particular term 8 different times in that message. It is a term that is translated, you or yours. In other words, this was a very specific message. He didn't come to Mary and say, God's got a word. It's a word that's for you and for the other holy people. It's a word that is for you and all of the people of God. It's for you and for others. It was a message just for you. It could not have been more specific if she'd gotten a letter from heaven that was addressed, Mary of Nazareth, engaged to Joseph the carpenter. Mary knew Gabriel had come with a message for her and her alone. Because that's how God works. God always does His most important work one person, one heart at a time. God is not in the wholesale business. This morning, if I ask the question, how many people in this room are followers of Jesus Christ? Probably almost everybody would say, I'm a believer. I'm a believer. I'm a follower of Jesus. But if I ask the question, how did it happen? Rather than everybody talking together, each of us would stand and each of us would say, here's my experience. This is how I met Him. This is how He saved me. This is what was going on in my life. Some of us would say it happened to me when I was a child. Some of us would say it was an adult experience in my life. Some of us would say it was the most natural thing in the world. Other people would say God stepped into my life in a dramatic fashion. And all of us would be telling the same story, the story of how Jesus saved me. Because that's how He works. One person, one heart at a time. And each one of us, in our own individual way, comes to know Jesus Christ. Our church and other churches like ours have that practice that's really important. It's a really important practice called a public invitation. And on Sundays every week, I'm here and Rich is here, and we invite you to come, and we invite people to have an experience with Jesus. Why do we do that? Why not get a group together of a particular age and a particular time and work them all through a particular study and then say, now we present all of these people to become part of First Baptist? And the answer is because God works one heart, one person at a time. And we have this invitation believing that when that time comes that God speaks to you and he says, there's a decision I want you to make. I want you to trust me as Savior. I want you to join this church. I want you to make a personal rededication. I want you to take a step of obedience. I want you. He speaks to you. Just the way he spoke to Mary. I have a message. And it's a message, Mary, and it's for you, and it's not for anybody else, and nobody else is hearing this. Only you. Because God has chosen you especially. Why is it crucial that we know God chose Mary and only Mary for his use? Because we need to remember who she was on the day the Lord chose her. Today we think about Mary as the most famous woman in all of history. You cannot walk into a museum on the face of the earth and not find a picture of Mary as a Madonna. But when she heard this message, she was a small town girl with small town plans for her own life. And until she realized that a great God can use anybody that he chooses to change the world, she would remain that small town girl. She had to hear God say, I want to use you. Why Mary? Because God's reminding us all that the Lord seldom uses people who set out to do great things for him. God very seldom takes those folks who say, God needs me and only me, and I'm the one who can make a difference for him. Instead, he does his best work through people who don't think much of themselves, but have a deep faith in the Lord and a rich relationship with Jesus. God does his best work through those who are willing to place their lives in the hands of a great and a loving God. And it might be someone here today who says to God, I'm not much, and there's a lot of things I can't do, and I'm not the most important person, but I'm yours. The angel came, and he said, God has made a choice. That choice is you. And then the angel told her this, God has a plan for you. The message the angel delivered was more than anybody could ever have imagined. Listen again to the promise that Gabriel made. He said, you will conceive and bring forth a son. He will be the only begotten son of the Most High. He will be the Savior of the world that the world has been waiting for. He will establish a kingdom that will never end. How could such a thing happen? Mary was a virgin. What the angel was describing was impossible. But Gabriel provided the answer. He said to Mary, with God, nothing is impossible. Our God never makes a promise without fulfilling it. That's what Gabriel wanted Mary to remember. If God said it is so, it is so. If God said it will be, it will be. It might not be on our timetable. It might not be exactly the way we expect it to happen. It might even startle us the way God moves. But God will move. this plan didn't depend upon Mary. It depended upon the Lord. The same thing is true when it comes to you. The fulfillment of God's plan for you depends on Him, not you. I'm not much. I've done too many wrong things. There's so many ways that I've failed in my life. Doesn't matter. It's not about you. It's about the God who loves you and calls you and uses you. He is the source of salvation. He is the one who calls us out in new and special ways. He is the one who opens doors. He is the one who meets needs. He is the one who gives power. He is the one who changes lives. And one of the ways you can know something really comes from God is when you stand back in awe and you say, only God could have done this. Only God. Listen to me. God's word is God's hand in action. God's promise is God at work in your life. What the angel said was that was what the Lord was ready to do. There was only one thing that needed to be settled. You see, the angel came to discover if she would trust the Lord. Gabriel had come. Gabriel had made a pronouncement. Gabriel had issued the plan. Gabriel had made the promise. Everything was up to Mary now. She had a decision to make. Am I ready to let the Lord do whatever He wants to with my life? To let Him have His way would make her a part of the greatest thing the world had ever known. But don't forget this. To say yes to God's plan meant she had to say no to her own plans for her life. Those simple, comfortable plans that she had always made for herself. It really came down to this. Was she ready to trust the Lord? And here was her answer. Behold the maidservant of the Lord. Let it be to me according to your word. There's a short version of Mary's response, and it is this: yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. She chose God's way. And the decision that Mary faced is a decision people face every day. There's somebody facing it right now. Will I let God have His way in my life? Now, I don't know what that may be about. It may be a salvation decision. There may be somebody here who has never once said yes to Jesus, and your answer to that question, will I let the Lord have His way in my life, is an eternal decision to follow Him. But there may be other issues, other situations, other choices that you're facing in your life. Only you know what they are. You and the people closest to you. You know the decision, but you're facing that same choice that Mary made so long ago. Will I let God have His way? Even if it means letting go of my own plans. Even if it means stepping out without knowing exactly how all of this is going to happen. Will I let go and trust the Lord? Am I willing to say to Christ, whatever, wherever, however, will you say what Mary said? Let it be to me according to your word. And this Sunday before Christmas, that really is the most important decision of all, isn't it? To stand before God and simply say to Him, let it be to me according to your word. Let it be in my life according to your plan, not my plan. Let it be in me according to what you want to do, not what I want to do. God, I have been struggling with you. I've been trying to change your mind. I've been trying to change your plan. And all the time you've been waiting for me to simply surrender and to say as Mary did, let it be to me according to your word. What would that mean in your life this day? Are you here today without a relationship with Christ? Maybe in a moment when we do stand and when we do have that invitation and when you do have that chance to walk this aisle, you need to come and give your life to Jesus. Or maybe you're here and if you said to God, I'm going to do whatever you want me to do, let it be to me according to your word, it would mean becoming a part of what God is doing at First Baptist Church, because God is at work in this place. And maybe you're a part of his great plan. Maybe there's a very personal decision that would be involved. It may be something you need to do publicly, but it may be something you need to handle privately, right there in the privacy of your pew. What would it mean for you this Christmas season if you simply said to the Lord, let it be to me according to your word? Are you ready to let him have his way? If you need to come, we're about to stand, we're about to sing. God's Holy Spirit is dealing with you. I'll be here, Rich will be here. We would love to help you come to know Jesus. If there's another decision you need to make, we would be so glad to help you. Will you be obedient? Because God's speaking. Let's stand together. Let's sing.